As we move into the 5 o'clock hour, that was Jerod Mayo from earlier this morning talking about Drake May, giving an update on May's status. He's in the concussion protocol. He was limited in practice today, practiced for just 30 minutes. There was a clue there that Andy picked up on about what Jacoby Brissett had to say in his remarks this morning. He said, yeah, the only difference for me is I had to wait 30 minutes before I was able to go out there and practice, which implies that Drake May is still getting the starters reps.
Absolutely. I don't know any other way you can do it. Why would you not give the guy who plays, is you're expecting to play the first reps?
Right.
Like, if you were worried, you want to get Drake May ready and you want to work him through the protocols. But if you really think Jacoby Brissett's starting, I think he takes the first 30 minutes of reps. It's that simple.
Yeah.
I think Drake May's playing, and I'm happy to say it.
Well, you are on an island with that one so far, because most people are assuming.
I usually am.
And I was assuming this, too. I'd be surprised if they end up playing him, just because you're talking about a rookie quarterback. You're talking about a head injury. Adam Schefter told us earlier today that it's about an 8-day limit when you're in the protocol, or an 8-day minimum.
Yeah, where does that
before you
from?
Get back onto the field? It's probably just what the average is.
So how did Brock Purdy do it?
I'm not saying everybody does it, but it averages out to about 8 days back when there's a headache.
What's the science? I want to know the science behind it.
It's probably just math, Andy. Like,
oh, you're saying it's not the...
Like the average time that people come back is 8 days, yes.
Yeah, but that would include Tua being out for like months, so the average sways the average.
It sways it back and forth.
So therefore,
yeah,
you take Tua out, it would be much lower than eight.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know what all the concussion that were diagnosed and how many you got put in. I just have no idea. But I think that's about what people were expecting. And I think that's why Schefter said that. Here's what Schefter said when we asked him about this very thing. Do you think that May will play this weekend? He says no.
Well, I think it's the kind of thing where, yeah, you'd like to get him back. But typically, most players don't make it back for the next week. And so... It's just, if you look at it, I think the average return to play is about 8 days. And I think if you've got a young quarterback, you're going to be even more careful than normal. So I know he was listed as limited today, and I know there's a chance that he could make it back, and I know they'll give him every opportunity. But just on its surface, my general reaction would be, I probably would be a little surprised if he did make it back and clear through, but every player is different with every concussion protocol.
That's really the main point there at the end, is that everybody's different. The protocol is not a one-size-fits-all thing. Certain guys can recover. Certain guys have mild concussions as opposed to different grades that there are.
Yep.
Jerod Mayo did say that he did have a concussion. It wasn't that, you know, we thought that or we didn't think that, and the league had us intervene and put him in the protocol even though nothing was diagnosed. Maybe he misspoke, but he did say that Drake had a concussion, and so we took him out. He wanted to go back in and play, but we didn't let him, and then the league got involved and whatever. So I think that that's an important factor in all of this, if he actually had one or not, because if he didn't and they just put him in the protocol as a precaution and he never actually had one in the first place, then yeah, he should play this weekend. But if he did, I'm okay with being extra cautious here. I think in some cases, like, yeah, you don't want to keep him in bubble wrap completely and have him not get any experience to start the year because you're worried the O-line's not good enough, or you're worried he's going to get hit and, you know, sacked or whatever. Like, that's part of the game. But when he's actually now missing time, or potentially missing time with a head injury in his first year, in his third week of being the starter, I'm okay with taking a step back. I'm okay with downshifting a little bit on the whole Drake May train. I think that's perfectly reasonable.
I think it's reasonable. I wouldn't do it. I would just, if the doctors clear him and he says he has no symptoms, I would play him. Like, because what you just said, I don't even know what concussions are these days. Like, if you pull a guy out, you have a reason. So therefore, I'd say he has a concussion.
Right.
But to say he definitively has a concussion, we're not in that world. There's no test. There's no, like, oh, is he has a headache? Oh, okay, he has a headache. Oh, is his eyes aren't working properly. His speech was different. Like, there's a million things that can be measured or seen as symptoms of a concussion. You know he got hit in the head, and you know something wasn't right.
Right.
That led you to put him in the protocol, not put him back in the game, right? So that's what we have to deal with. How bad it was, maybe as of Monday morning, he's like, nope. I got nothing. I see fine. I hear fine. No headaches, no anything, no nausea, nothing. And so to hold him out extra, just to say I held him out extra, you could, if you want to just air an abundance of caution, a phrase we've used over the years.
Sure.
But guess what? If he plays next week, and he gets hit in the head and gets taken out, people are going to say, ah, you shouldn't have rushed him back. Well, rushed, I went an extra week longer than they told me I had to. I didn't rush him back.
I don't think, though. I don't think that's what people will say.
Oh,
I think people will say, hey, you know, you kept him out an extra week. It didn't seem like it was that serious. He went through the protocol. He came out of it. I think people will be a lot less, they'll be a lot less quick to jump up and say, hey, you rushed him back. If it's a week from now as opposed to this Sunday, if it's this Sunday and he gets hit in the head, then they're all going to say that, and they're going to be right.
Well, they won't be right if they're if he's cleared to play. That like that's what I would fall back on, and I, that's the one thing I think Jerod has done very smartly. He has said NFL like 10 times between the concussion and now, making sure everybody knows the NFL. You got a problem with the way this is handled? That's the NFL. This is the NFL doing this. They have a protocol that if he works through, you know, then it becomes a football decision, and you can decide to put him out there or not put him out there. I just, if he's cleared, this is sort of my Belichickian thing. Bill used to always say, "If the, I'm not a doctor. When the doctor says he's cleared, then I can make a football decision.
Right.
But until then, it's a doctor decision. Once the doctor decision is made, and you may be arguing that it's a football decision, and you can argue that. Even once he's clear, you can argue it's a football decision.
I think it's a big picture football decision in many ways. I do, absolutely, yeah.
So you can make that argument. I just, he wants to play, I'm guessing.
Definitely.
Actually, I don't have to guess. Jerod said he wanted to play last week.
He wants to play.
He wants to play.
They all want to play.
He's a gamer. Well, you don't always.
Except for Chuks Okorafor.
Yeah, I don't know that everybody wants to play. I think there are guys that sometimes don't necessarily want to play or do want to be abundantly cautious because it is the head, and I don't minimize that aspect of it. I also just think it's such a, it's still, it's so funny. We've been talking about this. When was, like, the Will Smith movie and the book? Was that 10 years ago already now?
Yeah, probably, right? Yeah.
And it still feels like we're still just on the very tip of the iceberg in terms of concussions and CTE and head injuries.
That movie came out in 2015.
Yeah, so we're basically 10 years after that came out, which came out after, you know, that obviously.
What'd you think of that movie?
I remember liking it, I guess. I don't really remember why.
I thought it was okay.
I don't.
I understood what they were going for with it, but I just, I don't know. Will Smith, I thought, was a little over the top. Like, I didn't, he does that same thing he does in, like, a lot of different movies where he just is kind of Will Smith, but he's, you know, he's just, you can't, you never stop realizing that you're watching Will Smith, I guess, is the point. Like, when he's taking on these other roles, that was one of those for sure. Like, in Ali, I could suspend disbelief for a couple of times, and this one I couldn't. I was just like,
I thought Ali
just Will,
sucked.
This is just Will Smith with an accent.
I hated Ali.
You hated Ali?
Hated it.
Why'd you hate it?
I'm not sure I even finished it. I just thought it was boring. I didn't like anything about it. I don't remember the details, but I remember, I'm pretty sure I turned it off. It was that bad.
Interesting. Yeah. I've never heard anybody say that about Ali before.
Didn't care for it.
Okay.
Of course, I am, according to the 774 Hart, you are one miserable bastard. I agree, but in what specifically are we referring to at this point? What have
it's
I
a
said
good question.
What have I said in the bitching hour that is miserable? I want Drake May to play.
In the last 4 minutes? Yeah, that's not really a
I
miserable
said
thing.
Miserable?
Yeah, I don't think so.
You're the one who's being sensitive and
people are calling
cautious.
Me soft for saying I think they should hold him out, but
yeah.
Listen, I don't think this game means a damn thing. I'm at this point in the season, I don't think any of these games mean anything except for experience for Drake May, and if you're going to be overly cautious here in this 1 week coming off a head injury, I'm fine with that. I'm absolutely fine with that. I think that's probably the smart move if you're weighing the options here. One game or making sure that there's not a long-term problem here, back-to-back weeks with a head injury, I'm fine with that. I think that makes plenty of sense.
Plus, if you don't play him, you probably have a better chance to lose.
That too.
Which means you probably have a better chance
better
to have a higher
pick.
Draft pick.
I'm surprised you're not into this.
Bench Drake May. Don't play him. Put him in bubble wrap. Don't play him all year.
Bubble wrap him up. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Matt in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys? So we know that we probably have the franchise quarterback with Drake May, right?
Yep.
Yes.
And we probably Jacoby's probably not going to be here next year. So you guys were talking about the trade market. Here's my thing. I would put Joe Nixon. Who are we talking about? The third string.
Milton. Joe Milton.
Milton. I said Nixon. Joe Milton in for like two or three series. Showcase him a little bit and sweeten the trade. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks for the call. 617-779. I have nothing to say to that. 617-779-7937. No, not really.
I have something to say.
Going to trade Joe Milton?
I'm not sold that Jacoby Brissett's not going to be here next year. Now,
I don't know about that. Yeah,
he's
not starting
here, and he thinks he's a starter.
Well,
he didn't actually say it. He kind of just led me to allude to it or whatever the hell he did with that weird
answer. I mean, he said it.
When I was a dink, according to most. I think he's a backup. And I think being a backup for Drake May and Alex Van Pelt's system in a place that he's comfortable, I don't Do you rule that out? Do you think somebody's going to sign him to compete for a starting job next year?
Probably not, but there's also now this sort of, these veteran backups are doing okay right now. They're not, it's not a bad market for that. Flacco's been good. Dalton was pretty good. Winston's been good. I don't think that Brissett's as good as, and maybe he is, but we'll see.
Oh, I don't think he's as good.
There could be a market for him in terms of, all right, well, these veteran guys seem to be doing okay on other teams.
You think he's going to make more than $8 million that he's making right now?
I don't think he'll make more than that, no.
I don't think he will either. I think he'd have to take a pay cut to stay here. I'm just saying, I think comfort-wise, this might be a good place for him, and I don't know how many other opportunities.
Well, he's got to talk to us sometimes, so that can't be all that great.
Well, me anyway, being a dink to him all the time.
617-779-7937. Cam in Wilmington before the break. Hi, Cam.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going.
Appreciate let me jump on. Best show in the state, so.
Bet your ass.
Appreciate it. There's this infatuation that I've noticed with Drake May and just the Patriots in general since, you know, post-Belichick, that everybody just wants to keep kicking the can down the road. Oh, let's put this kid in bubble wrap. Let's play him later. Shut him down. And then even with the draft picks and you know, let's acquire as many draft picks as possible. Those are lottery tickets. Like, if there's an opportunity to improve the team, your best player is right now, in my opinion, is Drake May, or at least one of your top three best players. If he's good to go, you play him. If you can acquire talent, you acquire it. Like, everybody's so afraid of diving headfirst into this rebuild. They want to just keep pushing it down the line. And it's kind of getting annoying. Like, players play football and just go out there and play a game and get the team better.
Yeah, Cam, listen, I think what you're saying makes sense. And I was not one of the people that wanted to keep May off the field early on in the season. I wanted to play him right away. I wasn't afraid of him getting injured. Oh, no, he's going to get injured in a football game. Now he's been injured. Okay, now, like, he took a shot to the head. I don't know. I take head injuries much more seriously than I do anything that has a very stable and understandable rehab schedule. And I just think that when it comes to that sort of thing, I err on the side of caution. When it comes to head stuff, every single time I err on the side of caution.
I also don't want him out there thinking about his head. That's an aspect of it. If you have any fear that he's thinking about it, then he can't play that way because he needs to play the way he's playing,
right,
which is, you know, running down the sideline for touchdowns, scrambling, throwing on the run. And if he's doing anything that is in any way affected by the fact that he had a head injury, then I wouldn't risk it. And now that people have brought it to my attention, it does make sense to lose more games. So maybe play Jacoby Brissett this week.
Yep, 617-779-7937. Quick break. When we come back, Gerard Mayo says the Titans are like the Patriots. Who would you rather be, the Titans or the Patriots? And what is this team really going to do at the trade deadline? Buyers or sellers? It's all coming up right after Stiz gets you caught up on what's trending. It's Gerard Mayo discussing the Tennessee Titans. He says we're a lot like the Patriots. He's right. They both stink. So he's got that going for him. And it's true. I mean, the Titans, I'd say, had a different approach to the offseason, obviously, than the Patriots did. They were going with their quarterback who showed some promise last year. They thought maybe he could take that next step this season. They got a backup in Rudolph because they wanted to cover all their bases, and that makes some sense. But in general, I thought the Titans were a little bit more aggressive. They went out there, went the extra mile for Calvin Ridley. They already got Hopkins last year. It seemed like they were putting something together that I feel like the Patriots wouldn't have even tried. You know, like it's the kind of team building experience that you look at the Patriots and sort of wish that they would be more like that. But now you see it's not working for the Titans. You see that their new rookie head coach is struggling. You see that Will Levis is just not cut out for being a starter in the NFL, and Mason Rudolph might be a decent backup. But this is a Titans team that's in turmoil, a team that's going to have to continue their rebuild, I think, beyond this year, go back into the draft for a quarterback, all that stuff that maybe you're already done. So you may be a step ahead of them in some ways, but they were at least spending in the offseason, which is more than the Patriots can say.
Yes.
So I do think that there's some pluses and minuses, and, you know, every team builds their roster differently. But in this case, there's a lot of things that they did in the offseason that I kind of liked. It hasn't worked out, but you can at least look at them and say, hey, they tried. I don't know. You can say that about the Patriots.
Well, they went the veteran free agent route.
Yeah.
I mean, Ridley, Pollard, like names, you know, like surrounding him. But I also think they thought they were at a little bit more advanced spot in the cycle, as Gerard Mayo likes to say. And they weren't, because the quarterback isn't the guy. He throws a lot of interceptions. What did the coach say to him live? Remember he like,
yeah,
what the F are you doing or something? Like he screamed at him something. So clearly I'm not sure there's a pairing necessarily there, especially when the coach is an offensive guy.
Right.
And that's the guy you two are supposed to be in lockstep together. But this just made me think. So Bryce Young benched. Will Levis benched.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Richardson benched.
Yep.
Is Drake May better now than any of those guys ever were during whatever the height of their career was, which is obviously 2 years, basically?
Bryce Young, I'd say yes. Levis, I don't know yet. I think
didn't
Levis,
he have that one
he
game
had a
where
couple
he
of
chucked
good
it
games.
Up to D-Hop for like 3 or 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, he had a couple of good games last year, I want to say. I'll go back and check, but I think that he had a couple of games last year where it seemed like Tennessee had something there.
Because I know the answer to my own question, are we getting ahead of ourselves? Yes, we are.
Right.
Absolutely. But I just wanted to sort of compare it to those, and I agree with you. I don't think Bryce Young ever had great games. I don't think anyone ever wowed about Bryce Young the way Orlovsky and Chase Daniel and those guys were, and the things he's done the last couple of weeks, Drake May, before the injury. I know Richardson had some one-off plays. I don't feel like he had games where people were kind of raving about the way he handled himself throughout the whole game.
Yeah. Levis's first game was that 4-touchdown game. That was his first game as a starter. It was right around this time of year. It was 10-29 against Atlanta. They beat Atlanta. And then he had a couple of not bad games after that, but not great ones. Had a 300-plus yard game and a win against the Dolphins with a touchdown and interception. He had a 2-touchdown game against the Jaguars that they lost. They lost most of these games, but 8 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. 1,808 yards in the 10 or so game, 9 games, I guess. So it seemed like they had something there.
Right.
The QB rating in the 80s, like, you know, this was their future.
So some similarities and maybe a cautionary tale. Don't get too far ahead of yourself, right?
Yeah.
Because we're 2 games and a quarter. They lost both games that he played. They won the game where he started but then got hurt. And To me, that's the cautionary tale about Tennessee, because I do think they thought or hoped, fingers crossed. Now, the coaching change is different.
Mm-hmm.
That's a difference there. I mean, I don't think you're going to change coaches after this season, although it was just a week ago we were talking about such things being conversations being had in that direction. Right. Mayo's right. We had one win and we're going to pretend that Mayo's back for a second season. Is that conversation could still be had? It could be a train wreck the rest of the way. Who knows what happens? But that's where I do think the Patriots are going to be more Tennessee-like. The thing that I would like is to shoot even higher. I think that's fine. Calvin Ridley, you like him more than I like him. He's a good player, not a great player. Tony Pollard is what he is. I'm not the biggest Tony Pollard fan in the world. I don't think he's a game changer at the running back position. But the issue is, if they're starting the QB search over again, they're way behind you.
Yeah.
Or, actually, you know what might be even worse than that? Not being sure if you're starting the QB search over again.
Yeah, I mean, that could be it, too. I think they basically have to at this point. They're going to be in the lottery. They're not going to suddenly turn their season around, I don't think, with Mason Rudolph. They're going to be in the lottery. There's going to be QBs there. And if they're not, if they're outside of it, then maybe they'll be looking to trade up. And that's, you know, the Andy Hart plan.
Yep.
Which would be a willing partner, I would
think.
Come on
down.
If that's what they're looking for. But they're going to be a team that's looking for a quarterback. Absolutely. They will be. Vegas will be. We had a couple other ones. I forget exactly.
Giants.
I was looking at Tankathon. Yeah, the Giants should be. I don't know if they will, because they're financially now obligated to Daniel Jones, but
Cleveland could be.
Cleveland, sure, they could be. The Jets could be.
The Jets will be.
Yeah, I think they probably will be.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty. There's more teams looking for quarterbacks.
And Carolina's going to have to go back in the draft, too.
There's no quarterbacks.
Yeah.
There's no surefire quarterbacks. And, I mean, you can pop off if you want about Shedeur Sanders, and anybody coming out of Texas fans can pop off about Quinn Ewers.
I thought you were going to say Cam Akers. Not Cam Akers. I always do that. The Miami quarterback.
Oh, Cam Ward.
Cam Ward, yeah.
Yes.
I always call him Cam Akers.
He's a hot one.
Never been his name, but yeah, I always say that.
But the fact that these are all hot names tells you there's no hot name.
Mm.
You can't all be hot. Like, in a certain years, there were number one picks. There were top guys. Maybe more will develop.
That does change over the course of the season.
Yep.
And sometimes, you know, a guy's just either locked in or he isn't. It really depends on what the teams are looking for. If a team's looking for a quarterback, they'll decide that Quinn Ewers is their guy. They'll decide that Shadur's their guy. I mean, that's...
And then they'll draft another guy in 2 years.
Probably,
they'll talk
yeah.
themselves into a guy that's really not the guy.
That's the way it works, and you don't know when you're
yep.
going to be picking that high again. And it's all the same stuff that people were saying when the Patriots had the 3rd overall pick. No, you got to get him now. This is when you get your quarterback. You have to get it when you have a top 3 pick, and there's this many QBs out there and whatever. I mean, that's just sort of the way it goes now. And I do think that I'm watching these college football games on Saturday, and I'm not seeing terrible quarterback play. Like,
no.
I'm seeing guys going out there making throws and making plays, and I don't know. I mean, I'm no scout or anything, but it seems like, you know, I was watching Drake May. He didn't set the world on fire in his sophomore year. Neither did Caleb Williams last year. Jaden Daniels did. And what's-his-name won the national championship, McCarthy. So, you know, that boosted his status a little bit. But it's not like, I don't know. I came into this whole thing, this group of quarterbacks, not much in the way of expectations. And they've shot past my expectations. So I'm thinking maybe this year, you know, it'll be the same thing. You get good quarterback play in college. These teams are going to swarm on that, I think.
Good.
Because they have to. I mean, this is the opportunity to go out there and do it.
Right, but there can be good quarterback play in college that doesn't translate to good quarterback play in the NFL.
Sure.
And
yeah,
guys
Tim
get
Tebow.
Bent. Right. There's a lot of them. And so I was, I don't think I mentioned it to you, Nussmeier, the LSU kid.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people that are now putting him as the number one prospect. And
oh, really?
That kind of, whenever you have that much jockeying to me, I get concerned. Because this is a class, last year, people were like, can there really be this many good quarterbacks? Maybe there are. I don't know. Maybe there's six first-round quarterbacks or whatever. Is that what it went? Six. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe there are, because some of them are playing at a really high level. Some of them, and one hasn't played yet, but people like Penix. This class right here, I feel like guys are going to be forced into the first round. This is going to be one of those where you look back and you say, that shouldn't have been five first-round or six first, whatever the number is going to end up being, because I don't know. I'm just not all in. Even Ward, I'm not totally sold on. And I know some people love him. Seems like he's a bit of a punk, too.
Really?
Some of the games I've watched from him, he's definitely got some true Miami Hurricane to him.
Well.
Like, he's definitely, don't you?
Kind of comes with the territory.
Yeah, absolutely.
With that program. But, yeah, I mean, listen, it could be the case. Shadur has been called worse. You know, Shadur had a couple of bad moments this year.
Okay, I got to go. The text line. These people, you people. I haven't said you people. I almost made it through a full effing show.
Without a you people.
Without a you people. Mm-hmm. And then you people chose to text. And texting late gets you yelled at. 413. Drake May is 10 times better than Levis has ever been. You guys are wild. What are we doing here? He's played two games and one quarter.
Yeah.
I like him as
and
much
as good.
Anyone.
He was pretty good.
I love him.
Yeah.
Love him.
Come on.
He's also gotten hurt twice.
Right.
Hasn't been injured twice, but he's had boo-boos. He had a boo-boo knee that needed an MRI, and now he's got a concussion protocol issue in two games. And he's also run around in last game, was kind of just basically run. Right? Like, he made a couple, well, other than Tyquan Thornton, you jackwagon, maybe
right.
Catch the ball.
Yeah, no. It's three completions.
And I love the optimism, 413. Yeah. But don't tell me that there wasn't optimism in Tennessee when they were watching Will Levis at times last year throw for four touchdowns. Like, this is what we do.
Optimism here with Mac Jones 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
We talk ourselves into it. We want the quarterbacks to be good because we know how important it is. So we see the good, especially if you pull a, oh, I like the guy coming out. I like Drake May. I want him to draft Drake May. Guess what? I tend to see the positives and ignore the negatives because I want them to be great because I want to be right because most of us want to be right. It's part of this job and it's part of this world. But don't tell me they didn't like Will Levis in Tennessee and think he was good. And don't tell me there's no chance Drake May could fall apart in the next year and be benched. Don't tell me that couldn't happen.
All of that's very possible. I mean, it's just that's the nature of the NFL, unfortunately. You don't want it to happen, of course. No one
and
wants that to happen. But listen, that's the way, this is
not
the way
just
it works.
Any,
quarterback,
college
absolutely.
Quarterbacks. Yeah. There's these spurts of college quarterbacks where people think he's the next coming, and it's like 4 weeks later he's being benched. Not to be too negative, but Castellanos over here at BC early last year was running all around. People were like, this guy's going to win a Heisman. He's Michael Vick. And then you're like, eh. He's not exactly Michael Vick.
No.
And I don't think he's winning a Heisman.
That was a tough one last week.
Oh,
that was a tough one for
yeah.
BC last week. That broke my heart.
That's
that
one
game.
Where if I'm Bill O'Brien, I'm like, it's okay that people don't pay attention.
Yeah, right.
Ignore us for a little while longer.
Yeah,
I need
you
to fix
get
some
a punter
things.
Out there up on Chestnut Hill, I think.
Holy Moses.
Also, while we're on the subject of acquiring players and things of that nature, trade deadline, Jacina Anderson, we talked to Adam Schefter about this as well. She thinks that the Patriots, or she's hearing the Patriots are now monitoring activity and that they're looking to upgrade at wide receiver, defensive tackle, and offensive tackle. Or that they are going to be talking about it, interested in that. Who knows exactly if they actually get anything done here. But if you listen to the Spin Zone yesterday, Andy Hart already floated this idea, and now it's catching on. I think that this is a smart way for the Patriots, maybe not for everybody, but for the Patriots, I feel like this is a smart way of building your roster because you haven't drafted well lately. I don't really think you've fixed much of that aside from the May pick, but outside of him, I still see a lot of the same problems drafting that you had when Bill Belichick was here, maybe because you have the same staff while making the picks, but neither here nor there. You also have an owner who's not necessarily chomping at the bit to overspend on elite talent, especially when you have to spend more than other teams to get him here because you suck, right? Like, that's the other part of it, too. So if those two factors are playing such a big role, and I believe that they are, making in-season trades is kind of the way to go. That's kind of the way to go. You have the draft capital. You have players. You have things you can do. You have tons of areas where you can improve, so you don't necessarily have to focus it on one thing or another. I'd be all right adding a linebacker to that group, adding safety, free safety to that group. You can add more at other places.
Pass
but
rush.
I think wide receiver, edge rusher, sure. But, yeah, for the most part now, wide receiver and tackle are the two pressing ones, and I'm fine with them doing whatever they have to do in order to upgrade there.
Plus, not that I want them to admit that maybe they're not great drafters, but if you know you stink at something, well, figure it out in a different way. And shouldn't they have as much or more data about NFL players, right? Like, they have all the all-22s and all the films and all the scouting reports, and maybe your guys have played against them, maybe somebody coached with them or against them for them, blah, blah, blah. Like, find the inequities in the market. Find guys that are better than the fourth or fifth place on the depth chart that they are in their other place. Because we've done it in various different ways.
Mm-hmm.
They can upgrade a lot of their roster, right? Lots of positions, lots of numbers, 20 through 50, whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
So it's not like there's a log jam here. You can replace talent. You can upgrade at a lot of spots. So figure out a way to do
Elliot.
That wasn't as good today.
No, it wasn't. It was much better yesterday.
Stiz isn't listening, so he couldn't give me my drop.
Tim is in Hanover. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Tim.
Like I said, as far as the draft, if I was a scout for one of the teams, I'd be picking Riley Leonard for my pick, man. He's going to be just like similar to Josh Allen. The kid can run when he had a line at Duke, and he can throw the ball. He's a real good quarterback. What, as far as May's done a great job. I wasn't a May guy, but I am 100%. But let's see him play against a quality team coming up. We got a bunch of good teams. I know he doesn't have the line, so that's a factor. But the thing is, you know what? If you want to do one in trade, I try and trade for a tackle, and that's it, man. Look for the quality guys at the end of the season when they come up ready for draft.
All right, thanks for the call, Tim. They did play. Mays played a quality defense. He played a quality defense in Houston. That was a quality defense he went
up
against.
That's part of why people were praising him, because it wasn't a great spot. It was sort of like, maybe we shouldn't do this week. I don't disagree with Tim, though. Like, I have this, it's not a dream, because that's weird. I don't dream about this stuff, but like, it would be cool.
It's weird that you said that.
If there was a Josh Allen, Drake May game later in the year where we got a little flavor of like, Allen runs for something.
There's going to be two of them, probably.
No, I know, but I want it to play out in a fun way where they're kind of, I don't want to say
like
a shootout,
yeah.
And a duel is probably even a little strong, because that's not fair to Drake May.
Okay,
Josh Allen's one of the most athletic, unique, well-rounded, whatever quarterbacks you want. He can make plays all over. But, like, a poor man's Josh Allen on the field. Do some Josh Allen-like things in the face of Josh Allen, which also happens to be a team that leads the division, a good team.
Mm-hmm.
They win games. So that would be fun later in the year.
Yeah, I think it would be.
You're going to bubble wrap him and not even play him.
No, I probably won't. Brett is in Agawam. You have the last word. Go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, go.
Brett.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Brett.
Listen.
Yes?
Who cares about the Patriots? It's
lots
Bruins.
Nobody.
Celtics time. Let's go. I'm sick. Are you getting paid by the Patriots to talk about this horse-ass team? Yes or no?
I mean, I don't get personally anything signed. Why are we talking about the Patriots?
But this is awful.
Okay, well, Brett, first of all, we did talk a lot of Bruins today. I mean,
you know what else is awful?
If you missed anything, you can go back and check it out on the Odyssey app. It's also great when callers try to program the show. It's always
we had Scalabrine.
We had Brian Scalabrine on at 4 o'clock, so we did talk Bruins. A lot of Bruins.
Plus,
a good
the
amount
Bruins
of Celtics
stink
today. The Bruins do stink, and we ripped them all day. So I guess you might have missed that one. But as far as the Patriots are concerned, here, this is still a very big talker. I mean, it's not going to be like this all year. Once you get to a certain point in the season where it's just completely over and they're just playing out the string, I'm sure you're gonna dial this down a little bit during the week. We'll still have Patriots Monday and Friday, but you know how this goes. I mean, it'll eventually start to peter out. Not yet. I mean, we're in week 8. This is the middle of the of the season. The trade deadline's coming up. There's still a lot of Patriots-related talkers here going on.
And I also don't want to alarm Brett, but football is the most popular sport on the planet.
What?
Like
what?
He might want to check the TV ratings where, like, they
who
do
who cares about the NFL?
Most popular 100 shows and, like, 97 of them are NFL games.
The National Football League. Like, who gives a crap?
Brett,
when there's early
like
season NHL and NBA going on right now, who would ever care about the NFL? 617-779-7937. Odds and Ends is next. Odds and Ends brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. Donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or call 1-877-CARS-4KIDS. That's Cars with a K and the number 4. It's Halloween tomorrow, Andy.
Yes.
Any big plans?
No.
Nothing?
No.
You're not walking around? You're not putting out candy?
My kids
you're not
are old.
Anything. They are, yeah.
Been there,
too
done
old.
That.
Both of your kids are in high school or
yeah.
beyond?
High school. And so they'll do whatever... I don't know. They do. Mm-hmm. And not that I'm a bad parent, don't know what they do. I'm just saying they kind of do their own thing.
Right.
And we don't get trick-or-treaters.
You don't get any, ever?
None.
Okay.
Not for years.
Yeah, it's not what it was when we were kids. I swear to God, it's not.
So I live in a neighborhood where there's a lot of trick-or-treating, but it's like a hilly neighborhood, and we're at the top of the hill. So down at the bottom, it's everybody trick-or-treats down there. No one goes up the hill. So we barely get anything. And then I don't like going out walking around because by the end of it, I got to walk back up the hill and I'm all tired and sweaty and in great shape, as I mentioned
earlier. I was going to say, I thought you were in good shape. Yes. Now you can't take your kid trick-or-treating?
I'm in good fighting shape, not in good hill climbing shape.
Fitzy told me that he was spending $300 on candy. Does that seem like cap to you guys? Or
No, that seems... Candy's sneaky expensive.
$300?
For himself or for to give out to
No,
kids?
It's sneaky expensive. Even if you go to like BJ's or the clubs and get the big bags kind of cost a lot.
Do they?
Yeah, they cost like $25. Huh. So if you, I don't, I mean, he must
what a,
be
what
in
a racket.
Well, and then you got the really cool people who give out the full size bars and all that.
Right.
If you do that, you're really spending some money. But that is the beauty of not having my kids carved last night. They did some jack o' lanterns. They were on the front steps with lights on. No one will ever come see them because no one comes. Whatever. I'll eat. I got my own little bag of candy. We always get a candy, so I got the Kit Kats. I didn't bring you one. I'll bring you one tomorrow.
That's all right. I don't have to.
You didn't take part in the tearing. I was critiquing
I didn't like their tears.
I didn't like
their tears. I thought their tears were way off.
They had, I mean, the Milky Way one was
their tears,
horrific.
So what are you going to do? Yeah, I mean, I didn't agree with a lot of that. I'll tell you what I did agree with. The women in Bill Belichick's life in their Halloween costumes.
Hey,
did
now.
You see this today? This was something.
Feels weird.
If you're watching on Twitch.tv, if you didn't see, Linda Holiday, Bill's ex, had an inspired costume. Of the Kill Bill lady, Uma Thurman, and what's her name? What is she the Mamba? Not the Mamba. What's her name in that movie?
Oh,
anyway, she's out there. She's got the yellow jumpsuit on, as you can see right there. And great movies, by the way. I thought both the Kill Bill movies were excellent. I was a big fan.
See, I like those. Whoever told me I have bad movie takes earlier, right. Screw y'all.
She was the bride, obviously, in Kill Bill.
So she wants to kill Bill, huh?
Yeah.
Must make for awkward rounds in Nantucket.
Well, I think,
oh, hey,
I think she's in Nantucket with all her Nantucket friends right now. That was the whole thing. She just wanted to stay there and hang out with her Nantucket friends.
Yeah.
I don't even think she cared about Bill anymore at that point. She just wanted to be in the Nantucket scene. And now she's there. She's got her Kill Bill costume looking good. Now, how about the new lady in Bill Belichick's life, young Jordan?
Lady?
Young girl.
Girl.
Whatever you want to say. Halloween costume now was a little bit different. She went as Bill Belichick for Halloween. If you're looking on Twitch, you can see it right now.
She doesn't look anything like Bill Belichick.
I know. I mean, she could have done a lot more with the face to look like Bill Belichick.
Yes, put a headset on.
It is it's white shorts or a white skirt situation, a giant sweatshirt, but it's cut off. So her abs are showing, and it's sort of cut down the middle. So it's a bit of a plunging neckline.
Yes.
But it doesn't really look like Bill Belichick.
No, and she did what, if she really wanted to look like Bill, and I guess she wanted to do Giants because he probably wouldn't let her do Patriots, Bill. She couldn't put a Patriots sweatshirt on, would be my guess. He probably put his foot down over that based on the way things have gone.
Do the Giants.
Yeah. But she has a Giants t-shirt on, and she's showing her belly. She did what so many women do, which is fine. Not complaining, but just.
She's sexy Bill Belichick.
Sexied something up.
Mm-hmm.
She sexied Bill Belichick up. But does she look like, if you saw that, would you say, she's going for Bill? If you just saw that random person at a party and didn't know it was Bill's girlfriend.
With the Giants sweatshirt?
You'd be like, what are you?
Bill Parcells, maybe? Could be
Giants cheerleader?
Sexy Bill Parcells.
Worse, what's worse of the representation, her or the Dwayne Wade statue?
The Dwayne Wade statue.
No, her. The Dwayne Wade statue at least has a jersey that says Wade.
Oh,
she has a
true.
Giants t-shirt. It doesn't. If the little thing said BB where it says double XL, I'd get that. Like, nothing tells me that that's Bill Belichick other than it's his very young girlfriend wearing it.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
It's a terrible costume.
I don't think it's a terrible costume. I like it.
Kill Bill is much better, and it's funnier.
I think she's been doing some sit-ups or some planks.
She's a 20-something cheerleader.
I'm just saying.
She's ripped.
Pretty ripped.
She can flip. She can do all that kind of stuff.
She looks like Jesus. Like, you know what I mean? When you see Jesus in the church.
I didn't expect
up on the
that.
Jesus is ripped. She's ripped like Jesus.
Well, Jesus is
that's
more
what
emaciated.
She looks like. Yes. Well, whatever. I'm saying. Whenever you see a crucifix.
Just compared.
Jesus is ripped and she looks like Jesus. She
on
does.
On the cross.
That's what she looks like.
I believe
Happy
that.
Halloween.
Ripped
I believe
like
that's
Jesus.
Blasphemy
and
or
maybe
sacrilegious
it is.
Or
I'm
something.
Saying Jesus looked ripped. I don't think that's sacrilegious at all. He was in shape, at least in those crucifix things he was.
Anyway, that's all the time we have here. Speaking of people who don't need to be sexified, John Lyons and KJ Carson coming up next. They will have you the duration of the evening until 10 o'clock.
Fitzy and KJ for a little bit.
Oh, is that right? I'm looking at the schedule. I see Lyons and KJ.
Oh, no, they have to do a swap so Fitzy can go trick-or-treating tomorrow
night. Very good. Fitzy in the mix then tonight. Stick around. That's coming your way at 6 o'clock till 10. We're back tomorrow at 2 right here on WEEI. See you.
Elliot.